flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Oh. Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Momo.
This is that time of the year.
It damn right it is.
Twitter feeds get blown up.
Woo! I mean, Momo's even getting, she's being a little stubborn on returning my text, and I know why. Because the trade deadline's next week.
Yeah.
She knows.
I was listening to Steiny and Goo earlier today, and Steiny gave Momo a little bit of a shout-out because she put out the big piece on Jimmy Butler a week or two weeks ago.
Yes, she did. It was a week ago.
Yeah, and I think in it, she wrote something along the lines of, Jimmy is just getting started.
Yep,
as
she
in did. He's going to keep, you know, pushing Miami's buttons.
Yes.
He has, and he's since been suspended 2 more times.
Very good article.
So she was on it.
She was right.
Yeah.
And stay away from her, Steiny. That's our guest. Anyway, will you tell everybody what you just told me about the Warriors and trade ideas?
So Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson cover the Warriors for The Athletic. And, of course, Anthony Slater, you heard him earlier this morning with Bonte and Shasky on the Morning Roast, wrote a little Warriors trade deadline intel piece. And I haven't read the full thing yet, but based on what I've gotten to so far, this is the most interesting thing here. Quote, with Jonathan Kuminga considered essentially off the table for any deal involving Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine, adding one of the premier wing players has gained some favor. And if such a deal is possible, the idea of LaVine joining their midst has prompted some intrigue among key stakeholders. The presumption is he'd be a better fit in said culture. End quote.
Okay. Just because you said that, I'd like to reiterate my my concern on Zach LaVine, and just so we're all clear here, and I don't even know what you're taking. We haven't talked a whole lot of Zach LaVine. I know Goo is all thumbs up, has been for a while. I don't have any problem with Zach. I have a problem with his contract. That's my issue there. And I don't understand how the Warriors can fit this. So here's what we're looking at if they were to acquire Zach LaVine. Because, yeah, he can score the bucket.
Yep.
He's good. He can score. $43 million this year, because whatever, that's this year.
Yep.
But it's after that. Next year, $46 million, followed by a player option in 26-27 for $49 million.
He's probably opting into that player option.
You would think. So again, without being a capologist, and I'm not, Zach LaVine, if the whole idea is we're going to keep Zach LaVine and Jonathan Kaminga and Draymond and Steph, I mean, I presumably Wiggins would be in that deal.
Yes.
But how does that work?
I read a little bit further. Let me keep reading.
Okay.
Quote, LaVine is viewed by some within the organization as the safer option. That's over Butler. At 29, he's 5.5 years younger and some $6 million cheaper than Butler this season, though his contract extends longer and he's had some recent health concerns. But there is some understanding and alignment from all levels of the Warriors organization that they lack a true second scorer next to Curry, and LaVine's explosive three-level scoring ability would fill the roster's largest void.
Oh.
I think that I agree with. The clear difference between Butler and LaVine is, one, what I said there in terms of age and the contract, which is different. LaVine is a more seamless fit into what the Warriors need, no doubt about it.
Completely. If this was all in a vacuum, if these were basketball cards, I'll take Zach LaVine. But I don't know about this contract. It lines up with Steph.
It does.
So, okay. But that I've always been a hard no on anything related to Zach LaVine, and it's never been about his X's and O's. It's about his dollars and cents, and that's how I've always felt. Now, if they've got some magic way to make that all work, I'm listening. Can they get both? Can they get LaVine and Vucevic?
Oh, I thought you meant LaVine and Butler. I was like, no way. LaVine and Vucevic.
I'm gonna trade machine that sucker here at 3 o'clock.
There's probably a way, but it might deplete your entire roster.
Zach is $43 million, and Nicole is another 20. So you got to get to 63.
Yes.
Starting with Wiggins and his 26, that gets you less than half the way there. Moses Moody would no, because his number doesn't go up till next year. All right, I'm going to see if I can play with that.
Okay. The
idea is that it would not be Kaminga, right?
Yes.
The idea
is what it seems
that you would
like
do that
Slater
deal and not give up Jonathan Kaminga. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
From what Slater and Thompson are saying, if Jonathan Kaminga is deemed as untouchable in these trades, first of all, I would like to know why, because there is the aspect of maybe what Guru is talking about, and if you missed the crossover, Guru was very, very high on Kaminga's future and views him as a perennial all-star, like post-Stephen Curry, and as a player that can lead the franchise. I don't know if the Warriors feel that way about him, but if they do, great. That might be part of the reason why they view him as untouchable. I think what's more likely, Willard, is they view him as untouchable because if they were to trade him now, they are selling at the lowest possible point of this asset. Like you are losing the trade if you trade away Jonathan Kaminga, because he's worth more than he's making currently, but you have to trade him at what he's currently making, and because the Warriors are so hard up against the cap, you can't take more money in. So you have to trade away Kaminga and get someone back of the same monetary value, who very likely would be less real basketball player value. So maybe that's the reason why he's untouchable. And I say all that to bring up this idea, Willard, and something that you brought up yesterday in terms of Jimmy Butler. If the acquisition of Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine hinders your ability to keep Kaminga around long term, and if you want him around long term, then why the hell would you do it? But maybe the Warriors aren't set on Kaminga as a long term guy, therefore they're willing to potentially say goodbye to his future with this organization in favor of 2.5 more years of Zach LaVine. But maybe they feel like there's room for both.
Well, I would we probably, let's get super complex.
Hard to chew on radio.
Yeah, you run into the money thing. You run into the number of player things. I know that they just brought in a player on their two-way deal.
Jackson Rowe.
I'm sure none of you heard about that. If you did, congrats. You're a really good Warrior fan. You're tapped in. I did notice that, and I go, are they positioning themselves just to like
just put to have him, a body?
To have a body. Yes, just to have a body to put into a roster spot. I started playing with something right away. Wiggins, Schroeder, Payton, Hield, and Moody for LaVine and Vucevic. That both adds up to like $63 million. I mean, honestly, it's within 15 grand of each other.
Sorry, so it's Wiggins, Hield.
Wiggins, Hield, Moody, Payton, Schroeder.
Moody, Payton, Schroeder.
For LaVine and Vucevic. And the trade failed. They told me I needed to trim $3,000.
Mm.
So back to the drawing board.
I mean, you but have again, like, you're that close. Something will work.
Something
and
will
there'll
work.
Be a third
yes.
team, a fourth team, whatever.
Yes.
So it is possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that leaves you with Steph and Draymond and these two acquisitions and Kuminga and Pajemski, and you still get to keep some experience down low with Looney and Anderson and TJD, and you still have these two new big guys you're interested in post. And Santos?
If they're acquiring Vucevic, I would imagine Looney's probably on the way out.
Well, maybe that's actually the swap that I need to make.
I don't know what the purpose of having Looney and TJD and Vucevic and Quinton Post. Like, they already have too
many.
Well,
right. And then and we have to stop and think about what does Chicago want? Hield and Moody are not expiring. They both got a number of years left on their deal, and Moody's is about to escalate threefold.
But as you and Dibs talked to Adam Amin, voice of the Bulls, about last week, who the hell knows what the Bulls want?
They're an odd team.
No one knows. Maybe the Bulls don't even know what they want.
I heard Keith Smith on with Steiny and Goose say that he thinks Vucevic is probable as far as being on the move. Probable. So, anyway.
And he's not an expiring. He's not even an expiring deal.
No, neither of them are.
Yeah,
neither of them are. So the whole thing is it's mysterious for sure. 888-957-9570. As a way to get to all pieces of Warrior conversation, though, the question we're asking is, what do they do well?
It's a great question.
And again, your answer is?
Oh, they rebound well.
Okay.
I had to really search for something, though.
Yeah, I promised Uncle Looney on YouTube that I would I'd pass along his answer. I have to find it again. And he said, "Yo, Willard, I think we play pretty good defense and we're a good passing team."
Top half of the league in defense.
They were a good defensive team. I think
they're still all right.
They're okay, and they show flashes. I think in the first 15 games of the year, they were fantastic. They were fantastic.
I mean, they were top five offense and defense.
Yes,
for the first month.
You know, and Steve Kerr, remember at the beginning of the year, he was like, that's what we want. Like, we want to be known as a scrappy, hardworking defensive team. And then the year started, and I'm like, yo, you did it.
You nailed it,
remember,
Steve.
Jerry Stackhouse was getting all that credit for crushing it? And then it kind of just,
The offense has been the bigger problem than
the
defense.
For sure.
But the defense has also kind of fallen off the
cliff. It's just kind of like there. Yeah. Like, it's fine. It's not offensive. Anyway, 888. 957-9570, the number. Philmo Mike is on the line. Philmo!
Yo, yo!
What is happening?
You know, I love you, Willard, but...
Uh-oh.
I gotta correct you.
This is like three calls in a row that you've started that way, Philmo.
I know.
Thank you. No, man. You could call up and take me down and disagree. That's what we're doing here. It's all good.
Oh, man, Willie. I rock with you, Willie. I like I said all the time, man, it took me a while to get to I love you now. Like, I literally love you. Not like I love you as I know you, but I have a lot of love for you.
Hey.
So let me correct you on some things.
Let's go.
You asked two questions. You said, what do the Warriors do good, right?
Yep.
The Warriors don't know what the hell they do good, right? So with that being said, of course they won't realize. They don't realize what they have in Kuminga. They don't know where to put Kuminga at, identify him as. Is he a one? Is he a two? Is he this or is he that or the third? So that's all I'm trying to point out to you. The Warriors don't know. They don't do a lot of things good, a lot of things well. I know this, though. I've been watching the Warriors for 30 years, since Chris Webber went behind the bat on dunked on Charles Barkley. That's when I fell in love with the Warriors. The Warriors, whenever you lead the league in rebounds, guess what? Shout out to Donald Foyle. You're not a good shooting team. So when you lead the league in rebounds, all that means is that you're doing a lot of breaking. You feel me? So what we have to get back to is making the open shot. Willard, now I can agree with you on this. You said this last week. The Lakers, when we played the Lakers, they made less threes than us, but they made all their open threes. I don't know what the hell is going on, but we just be missing open ass three pointers. Like it's like everybody's like we're supposed to. Like we're not in the NBA. Like we're in college. I don't know what's going on, but I think that's. I can't say like man, make the shot because I play basketball. Sometimes you just miss, but man, for 3 months we just been bricking. No wonder we lead the league in rebounds. We're bricking so much.
It's a good, but Filmo, it's a funny point and a good one. They're not a great three-point shooting team. You know what I mean? Like, do you know the difference, Filmo? You'll get this. There's a difference between a three-point shooter and someone who can shoot a three. Those are two different things. And the Warriors have a bunch of people who can shoot a three. Andrew Wiggins can shoot a three. Dennis Schroeder can shoot a three. But I look around the NBA and I see teams surrounding the three-point arc. You've got the best player with the ball in his hand, and you're surrounded by three-point shooters, like people who knock it down. The Warriors don't have enough.
I totally agree. I don't know what they got to do. I mean, Buddy Hill be missing wide open threes, Willard. He be missing wide. I was like, bro, nobody's there. And it go in and out. It's a nice tease. It go in and out. Around the thing, and it just pop out. But, man, I don't know what's going on, man. I agree with you, Willard.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I agree with you. When you and Grandy, when y'all was like, when Kirby's like, man, we got a scrappy team. Like, I was like, man, we do got a scrappy. Like, I like this. And then they just start breaking. I don't know what
Filmo, thank you for calling, man. You're welcome anytime. Yeah.
You want to know it?
Maybe that should be Buddy Buckets instead of that nickname because that doesn't seem to fit anymore. Maybe we just call him old In and Out. My kids would like it. They ask me for it twice a week.
Some of them are going In and Out. Some of them are also just breaking.
Just missing.
Entirely.
Yeah. Could I take 10 seconds to apologize to the adorable Sacramento Kings fans.
Do it.
Yeah, because like 15 games into the year, and Evan is sitting here getting ready for Warriors Live later, and he knows this because I fell into the trap so much that I bet him a drink that Buddy Hield was going to average more points for this team than Jonathan Kuminga would.
Yeah, I remember you came in here and was like, why do you guys hate Buddy Hield?
Yeah, I was like, hey, Kings fans, y'all are just mad. Like, what is it that you do not like about this guy?
He's great.
I would like to now say, oh.
I see.
I get it now. Yeah. I get it now. Yeah. And by the way, I don't now dislike Buddy Hield. I would still put myself on one side of the fence. What's that meme y'all sent me earlier got sent out on Twitter because Draymond was standing next to Buddy Hield, kind of like looking like he was like facing him, and the caption was, do it, Draymond. Warriors fans want you to do it, as in we would love for you to punch Buddy Hield. I don't want Buddy Hield punched.
Of course not.
No, but I'm not mad at Buddy Hield. I hear a lot of that.
It's a frustrating experience right now.
But I get it.
Yes.
I get it. I get where you're like, oh. And you do things on the court sometimes that are hard to watch. And yes, maddeningly inconsistent, considering where he sits, like in the history of the game.
He's one of the best 3-point shooters ever.
Ever. Ever. In terms of volume, at least.
And percentage is up there too, honestly. As a career, he's barely under 40% as a career.
Dude, you really do make me, like, he's kind of one of them, like, palm to forehead guys, like, 2-3 times a night.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead. I figured out a trade that was successful, but say your thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You and Filmo both brought up what Steve Kerr told you and Dibs before the season, which was we want to be a scrappy team, right?
Yes.
When we were winning championships, it was always on the backs of our defense. Everyone, you know, thinks about the offense and all the threes, but it really was the defense was our backbone. And then I don't know if it was in the same answer or you guys asked him a follow-up question, but he then later on went to say, well, I think we're going to be a three-point shooting team, and we're going to get out and run. We're going to be a fast break team, and we're going to be a three-point shooting team. Those might be the best ways for the Warriors to score because, as we know, they can't score in the paint for whatever reason. Even when they get in the paint, they miss them. The Warriors are also just a league average three-point shooting team, and they're one of the worst teams turning transition opportunities into points. So, like, what they identified as their best ways to score, not good.
Nope. He also said they're a 50-win team. And maybe they still are.
They'd have to on a heater here.
I doubt it. Yeah, I guess a 50-win team could only lose 9 more games, right? Is that right? Do I have that math right?
50 and 32 in year 20, yeah.
Yeah, they could only lose 9 more games the rest of this year.
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that, but anyway.
So they identified their strengths, or what they wanted to be their strengths, and they've been at best mediocre across the league at one of them and very bad in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, it's not like, okay, stop shooting threes, go inside, because they're even worse inside than they are outside.
Well, and what would I do to a Warrior who got position on me inside? Foul him. You're going to miss the free throws. They've gotten better.
You know, quietly, Wiggins, career high, 80% from the line this year?
I don't think that quietly. I've really noticed. It is one of probably two or three keys as to why he is, and I'm going to use air quotes, having a, quote, good year. It's still not like the year y'all want Andrew to have, but when put through the context of what's happened the last three seasons, Andrew's having a good year.
The running joke among my friends when Wiggins went to the free throw line prior to this year was, he'll split.
Yep.
He'll make one, he'll miss one. Guaranteed.
And by the way, a bunch of people in Vegas noticed that he split his free throws at the end of the game last night.
You were one of them that noticed.
No, not me. Well, yes, I got hit because the Warriors won by 11 after 5 missed three-pointers there in the last 30 seconds. But no, I wasn't thinking. I guess Wiggins' line, I think, was 20.5.
And scored, so it impacted his
and
line.
And he scored 20.
And the spread that you bet on.
Yes, everything.
It's too bad.
Thanks, Andrew. That's why I'm trading you to Chicago. I just found the deal. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Would you like to hear the deal? The deal that would land Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic on the Warriors.
We're really dreaming here.
I've got a big green square that says this trade is successful, and it saves the Warriors over $2 million that you could go use to fill the roster spots.
Wow,
want to hear it?
Sure.
I bet you do. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. We are asking you right now, what do the Warriors do well? And you can answer any way you want. And I will share my successful trade with you coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.